Yes, that's right, folks. It's the Paul Spooner Podcast once more. So for a while, I've been thinking about how we live on the land, but the ocean is practically empty. So why don't we just live there? And obviously, there's some reasons for this. If you step out of your house on the land, you can walk on the land at most places. But if you step out of your house on the water, you can't walk on the water, or at least most people can't. So you can drown, and that's bad. Also, the ocean is very caustic, it's not acidic, it's just corrosive. It's very corrosive. The ocean is very corrosive, and that makes it a bad place to build things. If you build a city there, it will rust if it's got any iron in it. And it's also moving all the time. It's full of energy, sloshing around, so it batters stuff and smashes things against each other. So there's mechanical weathering, there's chemical weathering. There's also lots of rain. So yeah, it's not even just saltwater and freshwater, and some things react badly to saltwater that don't react to freshwater and vice versa. And there's lots of sunlight, and there's reflected sunlight, so on the surface of the ocean, just a terrible place to build anything. But it has a high energy density. I mean, there's nothing around to block it except the clouds. It's got lots of water, which is important. I mean, you need water. It's got fresh water, because it rains a lot. The main problem is that the ocean, generally, the open ocean, is lacking in nutrients. It's got a very low nutrient level, because basically what happens is, if there's some nutrients on the surface of the ocean, it gets turned into plankton. The plankton replicate really quickly and turn it all into plankton, and then the plankton get eaten by little animals, and those get eaten by bigger animals, and then the bigger animals die eventually, and they sink to the bottom of the ocean, and all the nutrients just stay there at the bottom of the ocean. And then very slowly, the ocean currents will move the nutrients around, and they'll make it wash up in areas that are called upwelling zones. And upwelling zones are incredibly rich in aquatic life because they have these nutrients, and so the fish have something to eat. So the rest of the open ocean, it's pretty much a desert. It's got very, very low density of animals and things. But there's all this stuff on the bottom of the ocean. And if we could just get it up to the surface, we need to get the nutrients at the bottom of the ocean and the sunlight at the top of the ocean together somehow. So you could, in theory, I suppose, build a long light tube, like a fiber optic column that extended from the surface. You have a big old collector at the surface, concentrate a bunch of this light energy into the fiber optic column, and then hang it all the way down to the bottom of the ocean and just shine it around down there and maybe get some plankton or whatever you want to grow and seed the ooze at the bottom of the ocean with this stuff and make a garden. So you could farm in that way. You could also reach down there and grab the nutrient-rich water and suck it up with a big long hose or with some buckets or something. You could forget both of those things and just suck the water onto land and have a land garden. But that's kind of the worst, I think, of all the solutions, because the slope at the shore is pretty shallow. So you end up using a lot more tube or buckets or rope or whatever it is you're using to haul up the water with than you really need to. And also, land is expensive. I mean, we use land. We like to build houses on land because we can't drown there. So land is very useful for things other than water farms, aquaculture. So I think one of these two solutions, or you could do halfway in between, you could have a midway station where you've got a fiber optic column from up above and nutrient water pulled up from, or sludge pulled up from the benthic areas, and kind of mix them up in the middle and have this, you know, central area where you're doing all your farming, however you end up doing it. But at some point in the future, it's going to end up being worthwhile and people are going to start doing it, and it's going to produce a lot of food, a lot of fish, a lot of plankton or seaweed or whatever it is you want to cultivate. And there will be weeds, obviously. There will be blooms of stuff that you don't like. But I think this is the way to go forward with producing food. And the cycle is going to be closed because those nutrients aren't going to leave the planet. The nutrients are just sitting at the bottom of the ocean unutilized at the moment. They're sitting down there, not doing anything. They're not doing any work. They're out of the loop. They're out of the cycle. And if we can pull that stuff into the cycle, we'll have a lot more stuff to work with. We'll have a lot more biomass to work with. And you can do all kinds of other things. You can build all this biomass and then... Because people are all talking about how we need to get the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere so the planet doesn't turn into Venus or whatever, which is absurd, but whatever. It would solve that problem of, okay, you want to eliminate the carbon dioxide? Fine. Build a bunch of these plant things. You suck the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere using algae, which is... It's a machine designed to suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and turn it into a solid material. It's perfect for that kind of thing. I mean, it's much easier than growing trees and cutting them down and sequestering them somewhere. So I think we should look into this or do it, or someone should go make it happen. No, I mean, it does cost a lot of money to build stuff. Instead of building giant oil rig style platforms, because oil rigs are there because they need to have a solid platform to put a bunch of large equipment on. But if you didn't need all that large equipment, if all you were doing was pumping up seawater, and you didn't need drilling and oil storage and all the stuff that you have with an oil rig, you wouldn't have to build a giant monolithic structure that was way above the surface. You could build a bunch of pods and rope them together using tension and structure. Like Freeman Dyson came up with this idea a while ago. He called it tensegrity, but basically you use long sticks and ropes, and you can hook things together using just ropes, where they're connected only using ropes so that the tension goes both ways and you can hold them apart using ropes. And so then you've got all these things roped together, and ropes are very durable in the ocean. I mean, they're not perfectly durable, but they're much more durable than, say, steel hinges or bumpers that are always bumping and rubbing against each other. So you can hook your pods together in this way, and then you can build as many pods as you want, make it as big as you want, have it all be modular, move your stuff around. You could expand cities this way just by building these pods out onto the ocean and have them... Now, you need to be careful near the shore because, of course, the shore is made of solid matter, and so you can't just have your pods slosh around over the shore. They're going to get wrecked on the shoreline. But I'm sure we could figure this out. Moor them close to shore, and then you can have housing offshore or storage or whatever it is that you're looking for to move offshore. And people complain about having their view wrecked or something like that. But you can make them look nice. You can make them look like flower petals or something, or a bunch of lilies, and it end up looking like a mat of houses, basically, floating on the surface of the ocean. And you can use these to drive things. You can move them forward and backward and sideways using latching. Basically, you latch them to the surface of the ocean so that they have flaps or hinges or channels that open when the water's flowing one way and close when the water's flowing the other way. And so you can pull yourself along upflow or downflow, and then you can have sails, basically, so you can sail across flow. And so you can have this whole thing moving around, not very fast, but it doesn't need to move very fast, without expending any power. So now you've got a mobile city that's modular, it's producing a huge amount of food, it's absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The only problem is that you have to build it somewhere. Although there are ways to build concrete out of seawater, they're not very well researched, and we're not really sure if they're going to work very well. And I wouldn't really trust them, at least initially, so you'd have to have some sort of place to build these pods or build structures out of concrete or fiberglass or whatever it is you want to build a boat out of, really. But we build houses already. I mean, it's not like we're going out and chopping down trees wherever we are and building a house right on site. We build all our houses basically off-site. We ship in all the lumber and ship in all the stuff and construct it. So you can just do the same kind of thing, especially since it's floating on the ocean, so you can just build it wherever you want and then tow it to the location of whatever city you want to be a part of. And like I said, I've been thinking about this for a long time, but I haven't done anything about it because I don't have the resources to try it out. Basically, you'd need to be able to build a set of pods to live on, have enough rope to rope them together, have enough pipe to reach down to the ocean, or fiber optics to reach down to the ocean, and then enough food to last long enough to try out all kinds of stuff. Because I don't know if anyone's tried this before, so you just have to experiment and see what happened, and see what worked and what didn't. And that takes time. So you'd need, you know, several months worth of food and probably $100,000, $200,000 worth of construction materials and or labor and expertise, and then the money to tow it all out into the ocean, or time to use a wave drive to get it out into the ocean somehow. And you'd need some expertise in designing this kind of stuff. You wouldn't want to sink. And I could probably design it all, and I could probably build it all, but I just haven't had the resources until recently, maybe. I mean, even now, if I sold my house and sold everything and took my family out there, I mean, maybe I could do it, but it's kind of a long shot. I feel like without more research, without knowing if it was going to work or not, I wouldn't want to try it. And maybe that's why no one's tried it. Because everyone's like, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Is there any way to figure out if this is going to work? And yeah, there is. You can get a big research ship and put it out in the middle of the ocean and, you know, try this. Pump water up and down from the bottom of the ocean and play around with making blooms and stuff like that. But I guess no one's thought that it's worthwhile. Or maybe someone tried it and just didn't work. And I haven't been able to find that research paper. The way that research papers are posted online is just shameful. We should really, as a culture, be more free with the information that we're publicly paying to have done. Like, if it's paid for with government money, that means it should be available to the public, it seems. Anyway, enough politics. I think it would also be really useful for experimenting with different types of government, because if you had a system of construction that was modular, if you roped your stuff together with ropes and you could untie at any time, just float off and go somewhere else, then you really could move your stuff to another country. You know, you could have a cluster of pods over here and a cluster of pods somewhere else, and you'd be like, well, I don't really like the way things are going here, so I'm gonna go somewhere else. And you could literally cut your ties and move off somewhere else, be on your own and be your own independent state or something like that. I think it would really encourage governments, even terrestrial governments that are based on land, if they accept this kind of citizenship or this kind of ownership of pods where they're not owned by the government, they're owned by the individuals, then I think it would really encourage governments to treat their citizens much better. Because if they can just up and move and leave and be like, well, I'm taking not only my family, my expertise, and my belongings, but my house and my land and all my capital, and going somewhere else, it seems like that would encourage governments to be more civil toward their own citizens. But maybe not. Maybe they would just be even more tyrannical than ever and demand that you're not allowed to leave without paying taxes on all your stuff or something like that. Who knows? Never ceases to amaze me the absurdity of the expectations of governments and what they expect people to put up with. We're doing okay. We're gonna make it. Things have been a lot worse. Why were the former times better than these? It is not in wisdom that you ask this. That's Ecclesiastes somewhere. It's not a very smart question. Oh, why were things better long ago? Well, turns out they weren't better long ago. They're pretty good now. So there's something else you could try. You, the listener, no, but someone could try. Is instead of being fixed on this idea of floating on the surface of the ocean, which, I mean, it is really nice. It's stable, you have access to air, you have access to water. But instead of floating on the surface, you could submerge the whole thing, or make it capable of submerging, like a submarine. And if you submerge a few hundred meters, you basically become immune to wave action, because the cycloidal action gets much smaller. So that basically, if you're one wavelength below the surface, cycloidal action is basically nothing. And cycloidal just is the wave motion, the circular motion of waves as they travel across the surface of the ocean. So then, all you have to worry about, you don't have to worry about sunlight, because the sun doesn't really reach down that far. You don't have to worry about wave action, you don't have to worry about wind, you don't have to worry about oxidation from the air, but you do have to worry about getting air to breathe, because presumably this is staffed by humans, and humans need to breathe. Excuse me, I'm getting some orange juice. Stopped by a convenience store and got some orange juice and some sort of pudding roll. No drawbacks to living on the ocean too. You get seasick. The ocean moves around a lot and sloshes back and forth and up and down, and it'd be moving all the time, so if you weren't on a giant oil rig-style stilt platform, which, ultimately, that kind of thing is only going to work for very concentrated endeavors, like oil drilling. I don't think it's really going to work for colonizing the ocean and building farms and stuff. So if you're not on a structure of that kind, you are going to move with the waves, and so you'll get seasick unless you're acclimated to it. And it seems like you'd get acclimated pretty quickly. Sailors, back in the old days, got acclimated to sea motion. I guess maybe they were just sick all the time, but it seems like they would get used to it. And everything would be moving around. Your fancy plates would be prone to falling off of things, and there'd be adjustments. But people live on sailboats. It's not an impossible challenge. It can be done. And you can, I'm sure, design something to last a long time in the ocean. It'd accumulate barnacles. Although, I've heard that barnacles don't accumulate very much away from shore. So if you were out a few hundred miles, it seems like you could get away with not having barnacles grow on everything. Again, I'm not an expert. I've done some research on it, but the sources are not very forthcoming for obvious reasons. They don't want to share their secrets. And also because I don't think anyone's really tried to do this. Everything's designed around shipping or fishing, and both of those, you end up coming back to the shore pretty frequently to refuel and restock and load and unload. This has been the Paul Spooner Podcast. I am Paul Spooner. And I don't think I'll play you out this time. I think it'll just be fading off into silence.